We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I'm launching a new series, and it's on the life of David. When I was in Bible school in the year of 1983, was my very first formal year of doing any real formal biblical studies, I had to choose I had to choose one Old Testament character and one New Testament book to major on. And so I actually chose two Old Testament characters. I couldn't choose one. So the two that I chose won't shock you at all, I'm sure. One was King David and the other one was Elijah. And if I preach about anybody in the Old Testament, usually those two come up somewhere. And then the book of Acts was my book of majoring in the New Testament. And I have for many years have been fascinated with the life of King David, done a lot of studies, preached a lot of sermons on this guy. And I want to actually talk to you for these next 4 weeks, and I'm calling this Unmasking David. Now, I realized I actually have two microphones, so I'm going to switch microphones just to help our sound guys out. Praise the Lord. They did a good job, didn't they? Seamless, wasn't it? And so I actually want to call this Unmasking David. And actually today I want to give the title to my message, Decades of Waiting and Anguish. And here's the question I want to ask everybody online and everybody in every campus. I want to ask you, how many of you ever felt like God gave you a promise and then decades later, it looks like you're no closer to the promise he gave you? Anybody? I got my hand up. No one? Okay, let me take my glasses off because no one raised their hand, okay? Yeah. How many of you feel like God gave you a promise and decades later, it looks like you're no closer? Let me just see. Okay, so the rest of you, I guess, have had a promise he's given you, it's come to pass. But the bottom line is, that is going to happen. Matter of fact, I actually think God gives you a dream, and usually that dream means you don't need a second hand on your watch. Usually means it's going to take some time for it to come to pass. Would you agree? And I was thinking about in Scripture, the different people. I think about me. When I think about one of the words that I know God gave me 23, 24 years ago is one day God will give me a very unique relationship with the President of the United States. I know that'll happen one day. And that was prophesied over me 23, 24 years ago. I already know some of you will be thrilled, whoever that president is, that God would give me that unusual favor and relationship. And I know others, depending on your political opinion, will not like the fact that God would give me unusual favor. But that doesn't take away the fact that I do know God's promised me that God will give me that opportunity someday with a president of the United States. And I believe that Christians ought to be actually making inroads and having influences in people's lives of influence. Amen. So some of you will be happy, some of you won't. I'm just saying, be ready. Amen. And so Joseph, with becoming a world leader, it wasn't until decades later that actually that came to pass. And actually his whole life, from the moment he had that dream, he went backwards from that dream ever coming to pass. And yet in one day, that whole thing turned around and the dream came to pass. I think about Moses, who was called to lead God's people out of Egypt. And Moses got it wrong, thinking this is how God was going to do it. And 40 years later, Moses leads them out of Egypt. I think about Zechariah and Elizabeth and how that God, they used to pray for a child. And then decades later, an angel comes when they're both beyond the age of childbearing. And God says, now you're going to have a son. And they did. I think about Abraham, who tried to help God out. And tried to actually, given that sometimes we think God needs our help. Like, God, you don't know what you're doing. Let me help you out. Okay? And then I think about Noah and the ark. It must have felt like decades being in the ark there with all the animals and just his family. I think about, you know, David, who waited 20 years from his anointing of Samuel to his coronation as king. Now, the anointing of Samuel was this. You will be the next king of Israel, which in and of itself is treasonous of Samuel to do such a thing while the king is alive and well. And yet Samuel obviously feared God more than he did man and was willing to bring the word of the Lord. Thank God for people who are not afraid of what people think of them. Amen. And are willing to do what they know God's called them to do, even if it's not popular. And so Samuel takes the risk of treason to declare you'll be the next king. But Samuel knows it ain't anytime soon. Are you hearing me? And all those present would have been considered to be almost conspirators to a conspiracy that all could have answered with their lives had they ever spoken about it. And here is David with this declaration, you're the next king. Yet it was decades of anguish and waiting. And I want to say that I believe with all my heart that there's some things we can learn about waiting. And I believe there's five reasons. I want to give you five reasons why God teaches us to wait. Number one, you catch this, ready? You ready for this? The first reason why I believe God teaches us to wait is because waiting reveals our real motives. Waiting reveals, did you catch that online? Come on, I encourage you. Don't just be sitting at home and listening. Get a pen and paper out. Make sure we value the word of the Lord. Let's make sure we're engaging in the moment. Waiting reveals our real motives. Let me just put it bluntly. People with wrong motives won't wait long. I don't think you can say it any blunter. I don't think there's any, if you got a wrong motive, you know, and it's not real, it's not genuine, you won't wait long. It's one of the reasons why I believe God teaches us to wait. Another reason is because waiting builds it patience in our lives. It actually builds it. Patience in little things builds patience in great things. We must get a sense of timing. And if God's going to trust us with the big things, he trusts us small first with the small things. And then the third reason why I believe God teaches us to wait is because waiting builds anticipation. Remember, mum and dad, when the kids were young and they used to ask you, how many more sleeps before Christmas? Because there's an anticipation. And actually, the anticipation can be as fun, as exciting as the event in and of itself, can't it? Like, you know, in a car going on vacation. Are we nearly there yet? Anybody know? Birthdays, vacations. Sharon and I just had a 2-week vacation. I've got to tell you, I enjoyed the anticipation of the vacation as much, maybe, as I did the vacation. The preparation, the planning, where are we going to go? Had to rent a pool, what do you call it? Towable trailer, an RV. Had to plan how many pounds was it? What was my car able to handle in terms of weight of towing? And then where are the RV parks we'd want to stay in Greensboro? And then where'd we go? Pigeon Forge, and then to Nashville, and then to Memphis, and then to Chattanooga, and then back to Asheville. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed all that as much as I did the honest vacation. Are you hearing me? So waiting actually builds anticipation. Proverbs 20, verse 21. An inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed in the end. Another translation says this. An inheritance gained too quickly will bring your life to ruins. You ever seen somebody win the lottery and their whole life falls apart as a result of it? Because all that money that came to them, they weren't big enough on the inside to handle it, and then end up destroying their lives. Somebody given something too quickly, are you hearing me? I think about some of the people in history that I've read about, and if they don't have the inner bigness of themselves to handle it, it will destroy their lives. Come on, somebody. I've seen it. I've seen people do this. They're a 20-year-old, and they want to have the house and the lifestyle of a 50-year-old person. The problem is, if you're a 20-year-old, you've probably only got a few years of working under your belt. You don't have 30 years, if you're a 50-year-old, of the accumulation of income. But you want what someone who's 50's got. You want something you haven't earned yet. Oh, that's very quiet in here all of a sudden here today. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. And God puts it this way. God, in his word, he puts it this way, that he says to the children of Israel, I'll give you all the promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. I'll give it to you, but I only give it to you little by little. And as you get this much, I give you this, and you take dominion over it. You're self-sustaining. You can handle it. I'll give you more. We want everything now, but we can't handle everything now. Are you catching me? So what does it do here? Listen, waiting builds anticipation. And the bottom line is we tend to value things that came harder or took longer. Isn't that true? Okay, number four, waiting develops character. Moses, when he tried to bring people, tried to become the leader of the Israelites, he thought it was in the context of them still being in slavery, and he thought he'd be the leader and the spokesperson for the Israelites, or the Hebrews in those days. But the bottom line is God was thinking, no, Moses, I didn't want you to be the leader leading just Israel in Egypt. I want you to be the leader that leads them out of Egypt. Moses was thinking too small. And so waiting develops character. And then when Moses tried to do it his way, misunderstanding the bigness of God, he felt dejected, went out into the wilderness for 40 years. And then God revisits him and goes, this is now how it's going to work, Moses. And then Moses was a much more developed leader than he was 40 years ago. If you don't believe me, he killed someone. He was brash and he was impatient. Are you hearing me? Think about Joseph. Joseph, when he has a dream, one day the sun and the moon, and it's all going to bow and worship me. He says to his brothers, you too will bow and worship me. Well, that proves he's not yet leadership material. You don't go around telling everybody your dream. And you don't go all condescending on your family. Amen. But God put Joseph through a series of tests and a series of hardship, a series of things that actually, in honesty, everything looked like he was going the opposite direction than the fulfillment of that dream. See, waiting builds character. Turn to the person next to you and say, that was for you, that wasn't for me. All right, number five, listen, catch this now, everybody. Come on, Wilson, Richmond, Greenville. Come on, Seaboard, I want you to catch it, Norfolk. Number five, waiting builds dependency and intimacy with God. Isn't that true? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting in difficult times develops your relationship with God. Doesn't it? People who did great things for God learned that their success is in direct proportion to their intimacy and dependency on God. Now, you didn't hear it because you would have shouted amen if you heard that. People who did great things for God learned their success is in direct proportion to their intimacy and their dependency upon God. There you are. So over these next 4 weeks, I want to what's called unmask David. I want to tell you the real David. I don't want to just tell you the kid story in Sunday school. David killed a giant and that's almost we ever tell. I want to tell you the whole story. He was a giant slayer. Yes, he was. He was a poet. He was a musician. He was so skilled in his musicianship that when he played, he could soothe a demon-haunted soul. He actually was a political leader. He was a warrior. He was a chief. He was an outlaw. He was a mercenary. He killed men, women, and children and spared no one. He was not only that, he was a lover, not always in the right way. He ended up committing adultery and murder. That'll just get you in a little bit of trouble, wouldn't you agree? He didn't just get the pretty girls, he took other men's wives. I want to unmask David. I want us to look at this guy. He sometimes was a prophet. He ran a protection racket. Did you know that? Amazing. He slaughtered his enemies. His father-in-law despised him. One of his wives despised him. One of his sons ran an attempt to overthrow him. He was a military leader, and yet the Bible tells us that David was the runt of the litter. The Bible tells us that Jesse, the father of David, it never occurred to him to go get David when the prophet came and said, one of your sons will be a king. And even the prophet, when he came and looked at Jesse's sons, looked at Abinadab, Eliab, and when he looked at them, the Bible says they reminded Samuel the prophet by their appearance a lot of what King Saul looked like. And even Samuel thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before them. David was the complete underdog of underdogs. Amen. We can make the mistake of looking at people's appearances and judging people on appearance, but God always looks at the heart. Now, let me give you a piece of wisdom. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Come on. You might go for a job interview and you might go there if you're a guy unshaved. You might go there and your hair's a bit of a mess, your clothes need an iron. And someone might say to you, surely you're not going to go to an interview looking like that. And you can say, yes, well, God looks at the heart. Can I tell you that's true? He's the only one that does. Right. Right. Amen. Girls, you might go, well, I'm not going to get myself all dolled up. Well, I'll just put it this way. If the barn needs painting, paint it. You won't like that, but that's okay. So I want to give you a few lessons from David. Is that okay? Come on, guys. I mean, that's true. You want to get a job? You look like you can actually be competent to do the job. You dress right. You present yourself well. Amen. Don't use that as an excuse for you not to change and be a better person. That's all I'm trying to say. Somebody say amen. So two lessons from David, and that's where we're going to finish off this morning. Number one, first lesson about David, and I'm calling this message Decades of Anguish. And without a doubt, there's a big timing difference between his anointing to be king and his coronation of king. In that time, he was actually running for his life. But the Bible does tell us a few things about his life, and here's the first thing I want to give you. Number one, keep doing what you're skilled at and let God do the promoting. You've got to keep doing what you're skilled at and let God do the promoting. The Bible says David, through his musicianship and the skill of his music, actually soothed Saul. But then when he calmed down this demon-tormented king, the Bible says that he went back to shepherding. He didn't go, well, now think about it. If David wanted to, knowing that one day he'd be king, and now he's seeing this king that he's going to replace in a tormented position where he was literally, David could have run a spear from him. David could have killed him. Saul was tormented by demons. He was vulnerable. But David knew, I'm going to let God do this. I'm not going to take this opportunity and try and make what God has for me happen and help God out. God does not need our help. And so give the Lord a hand. Amen. So just keep doing what you're skilled at and let God do the promoting. On three occasions, he had opportunity to kill King Saul. That was the first one. The second one was Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, the very cave that David was hiding in. And the Bible tells us that David crept up while Saul was in the cave and cut off a corner of King Saul's robe. How close to the king are you that you can cut off a corner of his robe? And then David showed him and said, King, look, I could have run you through, but you're anointed of God. I will not take you out. You just keep doing what you're skilled at and let God do the promoting. David could have run him through, but David knew one day he'd be king and he did not want to reap what he sowed. He wanted to sow honor, integrity, loyalty. And he did not remove Saul himself. He said, God, if you're going to cause me to be a king, I want to make sure it's you who removes him and it's you who promotes. Amen. The other opportunity is David goes and finds King Saul in his own tent, in Saul's tent, while he's trying to pursue David, to kill David. And David goes into Saul's tent. Doesn't this time cut off the corner of his robe, takes his water bottle and his spear. And the next day he stands before Saul and says, Saul, I could have killed you again, but I didn't. You're anointed. Stop chasing me. Saul took 3,000 of his best men that day and took them away from battles that he was legitimately fighting and got so obsessed with David that actually he made himself vulnerable where these elite men should have been fighting battles they should have been fighting, but Saul used them to go after David. I got to tell you, we got to be so careful. But David knew one thing for sure. David knew this, that every time when he killed Goliath, he went back to shepherding. When he soothed the demon-haunted Saul, he went back to shepherding. Just keep doing what you're skilled at. Some of you have got itchy feet. Here's the word of the Lord. Scratch your itchy feet. Amen. So here's the thought. Write this down. Where you are right now is where God wants you. Where you are right now, everybody online, where you are right now is where God wants you. Who you married, the job you're in, where you are right now, and just keep doing what you're skilled to do and let God do the promoting. David wrote Psalm 75. Look at this. Promotion does not come from the east, nor the west, or the south. But God is the judge. He puts one down, he sets up another. I'm not worried about the outcome of the election. If you listen to the Democrats and the Republicans, the world is on the brink of disaster if their party does not get elected. Promotion does not come from the east or the west. God is the judge. He sets one down, he exalts another. Amen. We do live in a democracy. We do vote on our president. But if that president, he or she, jacks it up too bad, God will pull him down and God will replace it with another. Amen. Okay. When a great opportunity is given, don't assign too much significance to it. I love the fact that Dave, even after he killed Goliath, still went back and did things for his dad. I love the fact, it's like me when I mean, by the grace of God, I promise you, I've preached all over the world. I've preached in some of the biggest churches in the world, and I've preached in some of the smallest churches in the world. But I can tell you this, never once, and I say this with humble pride, with a God pride, I've never once in all my life, and Sharon can tell you it's true, have ever, ever asked to speak anywhere in my life. And yet opportunity has come because I just think God's the one that promotes. Do you understand? I'm not trying to kick down a door. If God wants, and I've had some great opportunities to speak in some great churches of great influence. But when I come home to Wave Church, I'm the pastor of Wave Church. When I come home to my wife, she says, put the trash out. Now I'm the trash putter outer. Are you hearing me? Don't assign too much significance to a great opportunity. Just keep doing what you're skilled at and let God be the one that promotes you in the name of Jesus. Come on, give a Lord a hand. And number two, while waiting, choose your enemies carefully. You get to choose your enemies. Did you know that? And you get to choose your friends. Catch it now. While you're waiting, choose your enemies wisely. David didn't see his brothers as his enemies. And let me tell you, the brothers did not like David. They talked down to him. He was the run of the litter. Jesse didn't think much of him. He didn't even get David in consideration to be a king. And can I tell you this? And I want you to hear this. Everybody online, everybody in every campus, stop fighting each other. Stop it. Amen. Just stop it. The way we disagree with each other and we're fighting each other. Can I just say this? David, listen, never made Saul his enemy. Now, Saul made David his enemy, and Saul was the king of Israel. But let me tell you something. David put down his rocks and he submitted to a king that did not deserve David's honor and in loyalty. But David knew, God, you're the judge. You exalt one and you set down another. And God, as long as he's the king, I'll submit to the king. I'm putting down my rocks. Saul may have chosen David as enemy, but David never chose Saul as his enemy. Praise the Lord. Some of us in our jobs need to learn submission. Praise the Lord. It's very quiet in here. Drop your rocks. Amen. And so here's the thought. David made friends of Jonathan, who was Saul's son. And the Bible says that they were special friends. There was a connection and a bond that was deep and rich. Even Saul's daughter, Michal, the Bible says, fell in love with David and they married. But she never became the queen that she was destined to be. You see, David was called to be the next king, which would make Michal the next queen. But Michal preferred being daddy's princess more than she did the queen of David. And so she never grew up. She was always daddy's girl. Am I talking to anybody? And see, she chose daddy's to be daddy's princess over David's queen. Jonathan, however, knew that David, not him, would be the next king of Israel. Jonathan knew it. Now, there was no succession of kings now. Saul was the first king of Israel. And so the natural thought would be, well, that would have to be Jonathan, the son of Saul. That would be the natural thought. But Jonathan himself knew that he would not be the next king. He knew David would be. And listen to what he said. It says here in 1 Samuel 20, verse 13, "But if my father intends to harm you," which he knew he was, "may the Lord deal with Jonathan," that's himself, "be it ever so severely," watch, "if I do not let you know, this is a man who's choosing loyalty over the David than he is his own father." Are you hearing me? "If I do not let you know and send you in peace, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father." I don't know how to say it any blunter than to say it like this. Here is Jonathan saying, "My father is an egotistical maniac who is fixated on killing you, but I devote my life, if everything with my means, may God deal with me ever so severely if I don't try to rescue you and put you in peace. May the Lord be with you as he has been, my father." What he's saying is, my father is a has-been. My dad is a man, is a mad, mean, evil man. And I'm not just choosing friendship with David over the fact that my father is my father. He says, I'm choosing it because my father is not honorable, but this man is. Are you hearing me? And they say blood's thicker than water, but let me tell you, Jonathan had an integrity that I believe is rare in today's world. Sometimes we just kind of feel like, well, because that's family, I'm going to side with family. Let me tell you something. We need to side with righteousness. We need to side with truth. Can anybody say amen? Jonathan was an honorable man. And look at this now, because I'm closing. You got to choose friends who edify you. Sometimes there's only one side to a story, and it's the right side. Amen. Jonathan chose friendship with David over his father because his father was egotistical and wrong. Here's the closing sentence of this message. Don't put too much trust in casual friendships. Don't put too much trust in casual friendships. And I want to just finish this message by saying this as we close. Watch this now. Twice David stands before Saul and says, "Saul, I could have run a spear through you. I could have killed you, man. Stop trying to kill me. I'm not your enemy." And Saul both times repented. "Oh, David, is that you, my son? My son, please forgive me." Read your Bible. "Please forgive me. How could I be so foolish?" Do you know one time Saul went to kill him? And you know what the Bible says? The Spirit of God, supernatural protection. The Spirit of God came upon Saul, and Saul starts prophesying that Saul himself starts prophesying that David will be the next king. You're there to kill the guy, and God hits you with the power of the anointing and the Holy Spirit, and all Saul can do out of his own mouth confesses and prophesies who the next king is. That's supernatural protection. And Saul goes, my son, please forgive me. How could I be so foolish? Now, David heard this man repent twice. Are you hearing me? But I'm going to tell you, never trust a man consider this. If they're unreliable in their repentance, they will be just as unreliable in their commitments. If they're unreliable in their repentance, I'm sorry, but then they do it again. I'm sorry, but they do it again. That's called unreliable in repentance. Are you hearing me? And when they make a commitment to you, as unreliable as they are in their repentance, as unreliable as they are in their commitment to you. I'm just trying to unmask David. I'm trying to look at the real David of the Bible and get some great insights and wisdom. Because at the end of the day, the Bible says David served his generation by the will of God. The Bible says David is a man after my own heart. And David made some mistakes. Next week, we're going to talk about don't settle. One of the weeks, I want to look at some of the people that are key relationships in David's life. And some of them were good and some of them were bad. And how David dealt with every one of those in different instances. I promise you, you're going to love the series, Unmasking David. Do you receive the word?
Yeah.
Come on, good Lord. Give the Lord a hand if you receive the word. I think that's a good message to start with, don't you? How many are looking forward to hearing the rest of this series? You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to learn a lot of things. I might step on your toes a few times, but that's okay. We're here to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Amen. So if we get too comfortable, it's a good thing to maybe get a little kick up the blessed assurance. Oh, it's very quiet. Amen. Unmasking David. Anybody feel challenged by something today? Waiting, waiting, waiting. Seems like you're always waiting, yet God is in the waiting game. Amen. I wonder if I could pray for you this morning. Everybody online, come on, everybody watching in every campus, I'm talking to you for a moment. I want to ask everybody listening to the sound of my voice, do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? I'd sure love to pray for you. Look at me. Wave Church, even in this amazing, upside down, insane COVID-19 season, that has all sorts of challenges and limitations to it. One thing I will not do is will not allow this church to be limited in its ability to reach unchurched people. One thing I want to do is make sure that we don't lose ground in reaching people that don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I want to pray for anyone who's listening to the sound of my voice, however you're watching, in whatever campus you're watching, and right here, as I'm speaking to our Great Neck campus, I want to pray for you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not yet a Christian, did you know the Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother? I don't know about you, but family's close. I mean, you know, I can say my brothers and sisters are certain things, but you sure can't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I might tell you, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, listening to me now, have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Do you know for sure that if for any reason, you were to be taken off this planet today, do you realize the very next heartbeat you have is given to you by the grace of God? Do you realize that every next breath in your lung is only given to you by the grace of God? I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Him? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? Everybody watching online, every campus, if you say, Steve, pray for me, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Or maybe today you might just be saying, Steve, I once was walking with God, but somehow, somewhere, I got off course. And by the goodness and the grace of God, I'm here today. I'm listening. And I want to get right with God. I'm going to ask you as well. We're all going to close our eyes. We're going to bow our heads. Church, are you believing with me? Come on. In this season, are you believing with me in the name of Jesus? I'm believing people are going to meet Jesus this morning. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I'm away from God. Every eye closed, every head bowed. And if that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now, high enough and long enough for me to see it. In every campus, online, click that button that says, I'm making a decision. God bless you, sir. But I know there are others here. Thank you. Who else would just lift your hand and say, Steve, pray for me. By raising it, you say, include me in your prayer. God bless you. Up the very back, I see your hand. Who else today would lift your hand? Give it a wave if I haven't seen it, because I want to pray with you and for you in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hand right now. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. I'm looking for others in every campus. Keep lifting your hand. Online, click that button. I'm making a decision. Thank you, sir. I see that hand as well. Hands are being raised. My last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, lift it right now. Come on, lift it up high enough and long enough for me to see it. Yeah, God bless you. I see another hand right there. Church, can we give a lot of hand for every single person? Come on, online. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, Amen. Church, really, let's give God a hand. Come on, if you're at home, you need to be clapping with us. You need to be in the moment.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.